Lord Jesus, we love you. Help us to make you our everything. It's in your name. Amen. Hey. Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see you. All right. So you heard it is a year of growing up, 2017. And I have a good feeling 2017 is going to be one of those years we look back and say, man, did I grow up a lot, right? Because growing up is always, in a sense, part of our life's goals. We want to grow. We want to achieve more. We want to learn more. We want to improve. And most of us have this innate desire to grow, advance, or the word I like to use, blossom, right? Blossom was a great TV show. It's a great word. Blossom. Some practical examples of this would be this. If you just started playing a new sport this year, right? What would you want to see in your next year playing the sport? You would want to be better, right? You would want to have better skills or instincts or stats or strategy or knowledge. If you had a yearly review for your job, what would you hope to hear next year at your yearly review? That you became even better at your job. Or great, yeah. That you have more confidence, that you became more efficient, and maybe that even came with a raise, right? If you're married, whether it's been one day, I did a wedding yesterday, or 50 years, our goal is to grow to be a better spouse. It wouldn't make sense that you'd say, 2017 is the year that I decrease as a wife. That I become less of a husband, right? We want to grow to be a better helpmate for our spouse. If you're in school, your goal should never to be less knowledgeable. You don't say, by the time I graduate, I want to know less than when I started, right? The goal is to grow in knowledge so you can graduate and move on to more advanced learning or begin a skilled job. Growth is a good thing, and it just makes good sense. I mean, physically, we assume that we're going to grow. We don't expect to look like babies or young children our entire lives. Now, many of you saw the email, so it is a new year, and you know I like games, so I'm going to show you a Northsider as a baby. And maybe if you're new to Northside, you don't know, but who doesn't like looking at cute baby pictures, right? So Northsiders physically grow up. Here is a baby. Do you think that, you should be able to tell with that, those eyes, do you think it's Laura Izzard? Do you think it's Diana Medina? Do you think it's Casey David? Or do you think it's Ella Izzard? That is Ella right there. Yeah. Here's our next one. Do you think that's Yvonne Coleman? D-Mac? Chris Keneally? Or Courtney Coleman?
Courtney!
That is a Courtney Coleman right there. Do you think... Do you think that's Robert? I thought that was Robert. Do you think that's Robert?
No.
Nathan?
No.
Rodney? Or Bill Hampton? That is Rodney. Okay. So people can see that's the same thing. And then the next... Do you think that is Eugenie, Vivian, Eva, or Patty?
Eva!
It is Eva Johnson there, right? We expected all of them to grow up, to grow up if they're not already to get to their teens, to young adults, to middle ages, onto sassy seniors, right? We expect physical growth. We also expect to grow up emotionally. How you react now should be different than when you were two and someone stole the toy from you, right? You should be emotionally growing. We grow emotionally. We grow in our compassion. We grow in our listening and our patience and our ability to deal with problems and conflict in relationships. We expect to grow up emotionally. We also expect to grow up financially. We do not expect to be financially dependent on our parents our entire lives. My son's not here right now. I'm going to repeat that so when he listens at home. We do not expect to be financially dependent on our parents for our entire lives. We expect to be able to grow up to provide for ourselves, right? Then eventually provide for our families. We expect to grow up to be givers and help our communities and those who are in need. We expect to grow in all of those areas, then doesn't it make sense for us to expect to grow spiritually, right? When one decides to become a Christian, our lives take on a whole new course, right? We have a new identity. The Bible tells us that we become new creations in Christ. And we aren't Christians because that's what our family decided for us long ago. We make a choice to become a Christian. We make a choice to follow Jesus. It is a heartfelt decision to say that Jesus is going to be Savior of my life. Romans 10:10 says, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." This is salvation. This is what it means to become a Christian. And when you become a Christian, you are wonderfully adopted into God's family. You become his child. My favorite verse. This is the verse that I got saved in because I said, wanted so desperately to become a part of God's family. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You become God's kid. That's amazing. The God of the universe wants you to be his baby, his child, his love of his life, right? And as children of God, our goal is to spiritually grow to look more and more like our Heavenly Father, to grow up to look like him. And our clear picture of what God, our Heavenly Father, looks like is through Jesus Christ, his life on earth. We look like Jesus. We look like our spiritual dad. Ephesians 4 talks about what spiritual growth looks like. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We're going to be solid. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. The world is clever. They make a good appeal for a lot of things. Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Jesus is the head of the family. The church of God is his family. We are to be growing in every way to be more and more like Christ. That's bundling to save. That's what our series is about, right? It's growing in every area to look like Christ. And how we do that is trusting God with everything. So let's read our theme verse together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Read this part with me in red. With all your heart. Now a little louder, read the next part. In all you do. This is about the entire us, growing up to be the people God desires for us to be. This is spiritual growth. But oftentimes in our spiritual lives, spiritual growth or spiritual lives is something we try to squeeze into our lives rather than have it be growing in every way to be more and more like Christ. Because our lives, they consist of our dreams and our hopes and our desires. Our lives consist of our priorities and our choices. Our lives consist of our friends and family. Our lives consist of the words both that we write and we speak. Our life consists of our likes, our dislikes, our prejudices. Our life consists of our decisions and our paths. Our lives include our attitudes, our prerogatives. Our life is our reactions and our feelings. Our life is our stuff, you know, the things that we own or we're planning to own one day. We build our own structure of what we want our lives to be about or what we dream about, and we become self-directed. This is self-directed. We do what we want to do. We say what we want to say. We act how we want to want. We want to act. We dream our dreams. We plan what we want to plan. And we really believe that if we have all this in the right order, we have all the things in place, that we are going to be so satisfied. We are going to feel so content. We fill up our lives with so much us. Some of these things are very good things. But we fill up our lives with so much us that we've totally missed or perhaps purposely neglected God's instructions for us to have a Christ-directed life. We've neglected it. Instead of doing this, our theme verse for the year for Northside, we are doing this. We're trusting in ourselves, right? We are depending on our own understanding. We're not depending on it. We're depending on our own understanding. We're seeking our way in what we do, and we're choosing our own path. We got our life under control. And the thing is, we may desire for Jesus. See him up in the corner, left-hand corner? We may want him to be a part of our lives. We do. Who wouldn't, right? We may want to experience his blessings. Who wouldn't? But we don't want to give him 100% control, right? We want to call upon him when we are in serious trouble. We want him to hear our prayers and answer our prayers, but we don't want to give him control of our lives, right? We want eternity. Who would not want eternity? We want eternity with a loving God, our Father, for all of eternity, but we don't want to trust him with our lives right now, right? This is what we've tried to do. We've literally kind of boxed God out. We've said, I call the shots. I paved the path, you know. We've placed our tushies in the driver's seat and we're not getting up. We have choreographed our lives, though I like to say we have choreographed our lives. Corey doesn't like that since his name is in choreography. We have choreographed our lives. We have filled our lives with so much us that we have left no room for him. And remember, Jesus is a king. He is the King of Kings. He is not an add-on, right? He desires to be number one. He wants to sit on the throne. So you can't just add on the King of Kings and expect him to fall under our authority. We can't put a king in our lives and expect that he is going to fall under our authority. This picture here is not bundling our lives around Jesus. This is the opposite of what we're teaching on this series. Bundling our lives around Jesus means we give up ourselves. Very hard to do, easy to say. We give up ourselves and we desire God's will and plan above all else. It is seeking his will in all we do. This is living for God. This is being Christ-directed. And here's the thing. When you begin to grow spiritually, when you start to grow up in your spiritualness, you grow in love and you grow in knowledge of God. And what naturally happens is that his plans, his paths, his desires, his priority, his words, his attitudes naturally become ours. It's not as painful as we think to get all the things in order. It just happens. As your love grows and your desire to obey God's commands just increase because your love is growing. That is what Jesus meant when he said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments, right? I remember so clearly in my 43 years of life that there were 9 months of my life when I was actually really healthy. It's sad, but it's true. I'm just being honest with you guys. So in those 9 months of my life, I exercised like 90 minutes a day. I drank nothing but water. I think it was even filtered water. My idea of perfect food was like fruits and vegetables and like 3 ounces of lean meats, right? In those 9 months, I was shocked at how my body just wanted more and more healthy things, just all of the time. And it was during those 9 months that I took a group of kids up to camp. And I often did this in the summer. We took 1 week, we went up to Michigan, we went camping. At this camp, this is a true story, they believed Jell-O was a fruit, and they believed potato chips was a vegetable. I kid you not, because I asked them in the kitchen. So my body went through shock. My body was so used to eating such good foods that I, remember, it was only 9 months of my life, so don't look at me like I'm the pity of your health. My body, now my body shocks if I don't eat chips, but my body just went into shock. It just craved the good stuff. My friends, this is what happens when you get more and more of Jesus. When you get more and more Jesus in your life, you crave more Jesus, right? You start to want him to be every part of your life. And when you're not in his word, you miss it. You feel like something's missing from your life. And when you're not with your church family, you feel like something's off in your week. And when you're not listening to worship music, you feel like, oh, I just feel like I'm not right, right? And as your love increases, your obedience increases, and then you naturally turn from a self-directed life to a Christ-directed life. It just happens. You can't wait to see what God has in store for you. You can't wait to trust him with another thing. You can't wait to depend on him for everything because you know you're not good enough to do it. It all has to be in God's hands. There's an account in the Gospels where John the Baptist's followers come to him and they say this, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of us. This is what John the Baptist's followers are saying. What about us? What about our jobs and our calling and our ministry and our plans? What makes us feel good about ourselves? Look how John responds. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. This is growing up. This is exactly what we're talking about. We need to get out of the way and allow Jesus to be king of our lives. I love this verse, so I want to give you some other translations because maybe there's a wording that really resonates with you, and this is a verse that you're going to quote all year with your theme verse for Northside, but this is a verse that's going to like stop you in your tracks sometimes when you realize it's all about you and it needs to be all about him. The NIV says, he must become greater, I must become less. That's a good one, right? The NSAB says, he must increase, but I must decrease. I like that one too. But this is my fave, all right? This is from the paraphrase, the message. This is the assigned moment for him to move into the center while I slip off to the sidelines. Maybe because I got a son playing football that kind of like resonates with me. Because you don't want to be on the sidelines. You want to be playing the game, you know? But it's a time for me to slip off into the sidelines. We need to get out of the way and let Jesus do this thing, right? He needs to do his thing. We need to let go of trusting ourselves for our life direction and trusting ourselves for our loved one's direction, right? We need to trust God in all areas. We decrease. We slip off into the sidelines and we allow him to take charge. This series, we've broken down our spiritual growth into four areas. We're talking about our public lives, our calendar lives, our church lives, and this morning we're talking about our private life. What does our private life include? Easiest way to explain it. It's when it's just you, right? No one's watching. No one there to judge you or to correct you. No one's going to dock your pay. No one's going to give you an F. Your parents aren't going to ground you because they don't know. Uncle Sam won't catch you in a tax evasion, right? No big brother, no cameras, no audience surveillance, no consequence that you are aware of. It's just you in your private world. Side note, just a little theological caveat. Of course, we know we're never alone because God is everywhere and knows everything, right? But aside from God always being there, we are talking about your private life when it's just you, okay? So when is it just you? It's just you and your thoughts. It's just you and your attitude. It's just you and what you choose to look at. It's just you and what you choose to listen to. It's just you with your emotions and your feelings. It's just you with your honesty or your lies. It is just you and your prejudices and judgments. It is just you and your bitterness, grudges, or choice of forgiveness. There's probably more, but I couldn't think of any more. Sometimes we have this idea that our private lives are off limits to discussion or evaluation or consideration because we feel like we own the right to do what we want to do when we are alone, right? We feel like our privacy is our business and what we do when no one is around is fine because it doesn't hurt anyone. This is how we often feel. For example, we may think it's okay to lust for someone other than our spouse because our spouse doesn't know about it. It's not hurting anyone. We may think it's okay to hold a grudge or be bitter towards someone because that person that we're holding a grudge for doesn't know we feel that way. It's not hurting anyone. We may think it's okay to speak awful hate words in our head about something or someone because we didn't actually speak it out loud. It's not hurting anyone. We may think it's okay to lie about something that no one will ever know about because it's not hurting anyone. We may think it's fine to use work time to do non-work things because no one will ever notice. It's not hurting anyone. You get where I'm going with this, right? The truth is, our lives were never meant to be that word was never meant to be said from the pulpit. Compartmentalized. Yeah. Anything about three syllables grabs me, right? Our lives are not meant to be that way. They were meant to be authentically bundled. So what we do in our private lives has an effect on all areas of our life. It affects our public life, our calendar life, our church life. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man brings good things out of a good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." What we do in private is where our hearts are. What we do in private is where our hearts are. I mean, Jesus spoke these words to remind us that eventually what is in our heart, our beliefs, our attitudes, our motivations, are going to come out in our actions and behaviors. Our private lives, what we do when no one is around, is the foundation for our love and obedience to Christ. If we can't love and obey Jesus in our private life when it's just us and Him, then anything we do in public or in church or in our life calendar is fake. If what we do when it's just us and Him, if we're not doing it there, what we're doing in front of all of the people watching us is fake. We understand that our private life is never really just us. If we're a child of God, you know, it's always going to be just you and God, whether you're aware of Him or not. So what if we started looking more and more like Jesus in our private lives? What would change? I want you to think through this with me as I ask you these questions. If we started looking more and more like Jesus in our private lives, what would change? If it's just you and God in your thoughts, how would your thoughts change? Oh, that's a whole series for me. If it was just you and God in your attitude, how would your attitude change? If it was just you and God and what you chose to look at, how would that change? If it was just you and God and what you chose to listen to, how would that change? If it was just you and God with your emotions and your feelings, how would that change? If it was just you and God with your honesty or lies, how would that change? If it's just you and God and your prejudices and judgments, how would that change? If it's just you and God and your bitterness or grudges or forgiveness, how would that change? My guess is if it was just us and God and we really wanted to love and please Him, we'd see a lot of growing in those areas, right? We'd see a lot of this happening, more of Him and less of me. So how do we grow spiritually in our private lives? 1 Peter 1:14 through 15 says, "So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy." First thing we got to do is our goal. It's not about money or success or all those things that we have our dreams set on. Our goal is to live holy, to live right, to be different, to be set apart, to be those new creations, to be that child of God who looks like their heavenly dad. That needs to be our goal. That needs to be what we look to achieve, what we go after, what we run for. And how we can do that is we got to keep focused. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, right? We got to stay, anything you've ever gotten in life, you stay focused on achieving. Our focus needs to be eyes on the prize, right? Our focus needs to be not to self-direct, but to trust Him to direct our lives. That's keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's our direction. That's our path. And the last one, Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." You know, this verse is my verse whenever I feel the need to have to please someone else other than God. Because this verse is saying you have one person you need to please. Just one. How much easier does that make it be? I mean, you don't think of all the people you try to please in your life? You try to please your parents, you try to please your teachers, you try to please your boss, you try to please your spouse, you try to please your friends, you try to please your grandmother. You have all these people that you're vying to make sure that they're happy. And this verse is saying, make your goal to please one. Make your life to please God Himself. Can you imagine how different our lives would be if our goal was to live holy? If our direction were eyes on Jesus, seeking Him in all we do, and if our best choice in the world would be to please Jesus, not ourselves, not others, right? Can you imagine how different our private lives would be? It'd be amazing, right? We would be doing this all day long. We would be trusting the Lord with all our hearts. We would not be dependent on ourselves. We would be seeking His will in all we do, and then we would just be waiting for Him to show us a path. I never wanted to end up in Chicago. Didn't think I could become a pastor. I didn't expect any of those things. But God put me on this path, and I'm so thankful that even though I was young, even though I didn't know a whole lot about God and His Word, that I followed His path, and I cannot tell you how pleased I am, because I know His path is so much better than the path I would have taken. Right? This is what our lives would be like if we bundle and save. So this week, I want you to start with your private life. When it's just you, it's the foundation, right? Don't just add God to the time. Make it Christ-centered. Make it all about Him. Remember, He's King, right? This is the assigned time, the assigned moment for Him to move into the center while I slip off to the sidelines. He must increase, but I must decrease. It's a perfect way to start trusting Him in our private lives. Lord, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You. I love John the Baptist's words. I love, Father, that he recognized that this is about You, and it is a joy and a pleasure to watch You do Your work. Father, help every person here today to be able to slip off to the sidelines and allow You to breathe Your amazing power into their lives. That they would let go of whatever it is that they're holding on to, or whatever it is that they feel that they need to be satisfied or content. And they would just say, take it, Lord, run with it, and do Your magic, God, because You are the King of my life. I pray for whatever it is, Father, that we have been enslaved to, whether it's a sin, whether it's a person, whether it's whatever it is, a thought, a grudge, a bitterness, whatever we have allowed to dominate our private time, Father, that it would just be completely abolished in Your name, in the name of Jesus. I pray for a new hope and a new direction and a new breath of You in the lives of the Northsiders here today, God, that we would allow You to transform our hearts, that would be the foundation of who we are, and that then would flow into our public life, that would flow into our calendar and our priorities and our choices, and that would most certainly flow into our church life, and we would see amazing things here in Your name. We ask these things knowing, Father, in faith, You answer Your people when they're called to do the things that You are calling them to do. Amen.